edict. These seeds remained apparently lifeless, however. Through the dawn period of the world, the demiurgus molding the substances of matter at his pleasure and ignoring the germs lying dormant therein. Worlds and men were thus gradually fabricated until the whole genera of life appeared, but still the seeds remained inactive. Man wandered hopelessly in the gloom of mortality, living and dying without light or under standing in his servitude to the demiurgus and his host of spirits. At last the spirit of rebellion entered creation in the form of Lucifer, who in the guise of a serpent tempted man to revolt against the mandates of Jehovah, the demiurgus. In Greece this character was known as Prometheus, who brought from the gods the impregnating flame that would release the life latent in this multitude of germ-like potentialities. In Christianity, Christ, the Christos, is the divine fire which, striking the latent germs of immortality, liberates them from their ages of impotency. As man emerged from barbarism and began to cultivate what may be called the intuitional, or soul qualities, an environment of beauty was thereby created wherein the germ of the rational soul could be stimulated and made to grow to the point where it would completely remold the life of man in terms of the beautiful and the true. In a purely technical sense, there are three definite methods by which man may impregnate this germ of spirituality within himself. The first method is known as war/s, and in antiquity was symbolized by the soldier who went forth to fight the good fight. The age of chivalry was the natural product of the ideal that the greatest good could be accomplished by destroying the forces of evil and thus at attempt to re-establish the golden age upon earth. The second method is love, under which heading is included the factors of faith, belief, and service. Through prayer and devotion to noble ideals, a certain glorification is awakened in the life. Love is elevated and impersonated until it becomes a great spiritual urge stimulating all that is true and noble within the soul. The third method is philosophy. The venerable sage, contemplating the wisdom of the ages, thus sought to elevate his rational nature until it could gaze unafraid upon the vast Tihi doctrine of redemption. Tihra Grace 163. 164 Lectures on Ancient Philosophy. Ness of Being. The understanding thus created excites a noble intellectual passion which brings with it the stimulation of the soul qualities. In all three methods there is a crowning state, a condition of apotheosis or ecstasy in which for a moment man actually dwells upon the plane of his ideals. The knight in deadly combat rose to heights of heroism wherein he gladly gave his life for principle. Those in whom faith is the DOM inner factor are elevated to a condition of overwhelming proximity to deity, as testified to by the enraptured visions of the mystic. To the philosopher there comes the gradual realization of cosmic immensities, and at length the sublime spectacle of it all picks him up and sweeps him into the philosopher's heaven. A state where all thought is clarified and the rational faculties become momentarily able to cope with the riddle of existence. Regardless of the means by which this clearer and larger vision is attained, its purpose is ever the same. The ecstatic state becomes like a bolt of fire which, striking the germ of rationality within the physical nature of man, causes them to burst open and release that universal redeeming and rationalizing power which was mixed with primordial matter before it was molded into worlds. Thus what Jacob Boehme calls the tree of the soul has its beginning. Its roots are in the dark earth of mortality, but gradually the tiny shoot whose very nature is divinity grows upward to blossom forth into a beautiful and noble plant. When once the seed of divinity has been quickened, the power of the demiurgus is broken The Lord of the world may thunder his displeasure. Though he slay man 1,000 times, yet shall that man live, for life has been awakened within him. Though all the furies of Kriya Shin may attempt to destroy that tiny soul plant, yet shall it prevail against them, for it is composed of the substances over which death and destruction are powerless. Through the disciplines of the mysteries, this redeeming plant which the Kris Tiens have called Christ is caused to increase in power and magnitude until in its perfected state it absorbs into itself all of the irrational nature upon whose substances it was formerly maintained. When it is realized that antiquity postulated a period called the Golden Age, during which the rational soul so controlled universal manifestation that all things lived together in a state of harmony, beauty, and goodness, all the elements necessary to complete the world drama of salvation are at hand. The rational soul is therefore the beloved of the Father, dwelling with God, the One, in a state of absolute felicity. Again, the Spirit of beauty and truth is symbolized as the beloved Son of the Universal Spirit, through whose rhythmic principles the immeasurable dignity of the first cause is most adequately manifest. Then came the symbolic fall of man, foreshadowed in the incarnation, death, and resurrection of the Spirit of Universal Harmonics. As Bacchus was torn to pieces by the Titans, and his dismembered parts scattered throughout the universe, so the principle of redeeming beauty, or love, was disseminated as the aforementioned seeds throughout the irrational sphere. When man reawakens, resurrects, this spirit of universal love, it ascends into the presence of the Creator, there to intercede for that regenerated one. The newly unfolded realization that beauty is the most powerful of all agencies is itself the redeeming grace, and the vicarious atonement merely signifies that there is a spirit of beauty resident in mortal man which can accomplish for mortal man what he cannot accomplish for himself. Two natures reside in every individual, one, as Goethe says, to the heavens aspires, the other in the earth's aspires. The heaven man, the Christos in us, is not born of woman but is conceived of the Holy Ghost. This spiritual agent becomes our Redeemer when of our own free will we elect it to be the master and director of our activities. Thus the just man in us redeems his own sinful shadows. He descends into hell and forever abolishes the power of evil. He ascends into heaven and pleads our cause in the firmament. Through him we partake of divinity even as through our outer natures we partake of humanity. As man increases in rationality, the spirit of the beautiful begins its ministry of transmuting the baser elements of the not-self. The uncouthness of the nature gradually disappears. The doctrine of redemption through grace 165. And tinctured with the grace of the indwelling divinity, the outer nature is transformed. The rationality within permeates the entire structure, causing it to sing with a new harmony and establishing a more perfect symmetry between its component parts. Thus mortal man, who is nothing of himself, is brought into proximity with the sky man, who is the spirit of life and truth. When the union of the two is effected and the animal nature dash the relapsed heretic of the ages is at last converted to the true faith, then the miracles so eloquently described in Scripture take place. Those who are mentally and spiritually crippled are healed, those who are blind to the greater realities of life are made to see, those driven frantic by the seven devils of worldly desires are freed from their bondage to the senses, and those tainted with the leprosy of ignorance are cleansed. Furthermore, those who hunger for the food that satisfies the inner self shall be fed by that inner knowledge which is the true bread of life. When rationality, not in the sense of intellectuality but of true and beautiful knowing in the sense of identity with spirit, assumes the reins of human life, then that life becomes Buddha, full and happy in the fullest and truest sense. From this end, other evidence it can be established with philosophic certainty that Christ is indeed the spirit of truth, which few recognize, but which when recognized becomes the redeemer of the life. He who desires to recognize this truth must realize that it is the supreme goal of all endeavor. He who would succeed in his quest for it must first of all develop one peculiar faculty, which we will term appreciation. It has often been said that appreciation touches off endeavor. But here again is a word with two meanings. We ordinarily conceive appreciation to mean the esteem felt by others for ourselves, but what it actually means is the esteem we feel for others. The heart that is receptive to the beautiful in life will achieve unity with the object of its desire. Man possesses the power to appreciate and recognize the goodness and beauty of existence. This power which makes realization possible is itself the blood of the divine Bacchus, the God soul who through 166 lectures on ancient philosophy, its blood in man shall redeem the world. There is in us a certain spiritual capacity, the power to be more than we are, the power to be more than simply a crawling worm bowing humbly before the despotic regent of the world. This power to transcend our mortal selves is symbolized by the blood of the God man that, freed by the spear of necessity, pours down into the cup of matter, there to remain as the cleansing blood. Age after age finds mankind soaring to nobler heights, and each passing generation shows some marked progress in the realization of new ideals. Let us then realize that this power to increase, this power to elevate us so high that even the stars cannot restrain us, this power to be magnified until the very universe becomes a confining wall, this power which enables us to face our Creator unafraid, this rational knower who is limitless, this is the universal Savior, the Christ, which in the magnificence of itself ultimately atones for all that has gone before and by right of its very existence makes man partaker of all good things to come. Man cannot be destroyed by his gods because his gods are within himself. By his incarnation, Christ, the rational soul, infuses into all creation a quality as immortal as the gods themselves. By right of this capacity for divinity within himself, man may not be cast aside, but is entitled to infinite opportunity and divine protection. Thus is the symbolism preserved whereby a man through the Christ in him shall arrive at the condition of that glorified perfection, which is now the object of his faith. Each of us is struggling to be free from the bondage of his mortal sepulcher, the sky. Man yearns for the stars, and if he be lifted up to his true estate, a first place in the constitution of man will draw all the rest unto him, that all good works may be brought to speedy consummation. The science of redemption may be said to embrace any and all means by which the dormant germ-like potentialities of divinity resident within all human nature are first awakened and then stimulated to divine perfection through aspiration. In summing up, it follows, therefore, that such diversified elements as beauty, belief, grace, faith, love, appreciation, labor, and thought, all being expressions of rationality, are indispensable to the perfection of the whole.